Hello, my name is Sam Dunnewald, and I am the host of Dice Exploder, the Emmy-nominated podcast all about RPG design right here on the Many-Sided Network. And after years of interviews and ideation with some of the best designers in RPGs, my first print game is coming to Kickstarter. Band-Aids and Bullet Holes, a John Wick-inspired game about getting your bloody revenge. Band-Aids and Bullet Holes is a game about standing in the shadow of a skyscraper in the pouring rain, bathed in bubblegum neon and someone else's blood, staring down at the man who ruined your life all those years ago, raising the barrel of a gun and asking, "Will you pull the trigger?" Band-Aids and Bullet Holes is a one-shot capsule game box set deck builder RPG, and you can follow it right now on Kickstarter. Back Band-Aids and Bullet Holes on May 5th.
Last episode on the Electric State Operation Firewall, you all hit the road. Four travelers and a dog in a battered Land Rover heading west with a mission and too many secrets. For a moment, there was laughter, old stories, a scarf for Rhonda, but then came the machines. Giant, rust, war walkers lumbering across the road like ghosts from another war. You made it past them, but they watched you as you drove off. And at a remote gas station, things unraveled. So I'm just remembering Meg and how horrible Emma Jane was last session.
Yeah. she's not a good person.
I was trying to do the recap, and I was like, oh my god, Emma Jane was like a gaslighter.
She's actually a barn.
Anyway, let me get back in. Emma Jane found hidden Noreen in Vincent's car. Betty, the attendant at the gas station, got the wrong idea, and suddenly you were staring down the barrel of a shotgun, Elias. Elias broke down. Daniel learned the truth about who betrayed him. Emma Jane tried to fix it with money. It wasn't enough. Later, your car gave out in a little town called Littleville. You were stranded. There's no spare. There's no power. Seemingly, there's no way out. Everyone split off. Elias had a good old grown man cry in the shower.
It's very annoying.
Yeah, listen. We all need a good shower cry every now and then. Emma Jane spiraled on stolen Noreen. Daniel got a voicemail. Julia was being taken within the week and promised unrestricted Noreen or Neurocaster access. And then, silence. Power gone, the streets empty, and across from your car, a dozen figures, still as statues, wearing neurocasters, watching. That's where we find ourselves in the next morning. What are you guys doing?
Daniel will be moving very quickly, trying to get people up and going, kind of like maybe even before Vincent is awake, kind of jostling Vincent.
Get up. We got to get going. We ain't got time to waste.
Yeah. Sorry. Oh, Rhonda woke me up in the middle of the night. I had to take her outside. You know, nature's call. Oh, what time? Could we maybe wait like an hour? I feel like it's dead enough. Oh, it's really that time.
It's time to go. I'm going to go see if Elias and Emma Jane are up and moving, but I want to get out of here as quickly as we can.
Yeah. And Vince will roll his eyes. Yeah, just give me a second. I'll be right out.
And Daniel will go to the other rooms and like go to Elias's room first. Just bang on the door.
Elias, wake the hell up. We got to get out of here.
Elias slowly opens the door. Despite looking like he didn't sleep, there's a little bit of a refreshed look in his face. Like, his hair's clean. He looks like he shaved his face. Looks less scruffy. And his bag is completely packed. Morning to you too.
We gotta get moving. Schedule's gotten a little bit tighter. I'm gonna go check on Emma Jane.
Shit. All right.
Daniel will move down from Elias's door and bang on Emma Jane's door.
Emma Jane, we gotta get moving. Get up.
Emma Jane peeks out. Her face is gaunt from what you can see. Hi, you're in a rush. We didn't, did we? Did we have plans for right now?
I got a call in the middle of the night, and our timetable's been pushed up. We got to get moving.
Right.
Have you been up all night drinking or something?
Working. Up when I'm working. So I'll give me.
Elias loudly scoffs at that response.
Oh, you brought everyone. Fantastic. And she'll, like, shut the door again. And then you can kind of hear, like, a few more fumbles before, like, she starts getting, like, attempting to get her shit together. Sort of get ready to meet you guys out front.
You got 5 minutes. Let's go.
5 minutes is more than enough. And when she finally does sort of drag herself out, she's looking slightly better, but again, still, like, her eyes are sunken. Daniel, you probably recognize it. You've seen it before, but she sort of, like, finishes pulling her hair into, like, a sort of, like, braid. And she regards you all. Did we have good evenings? What's with the rush? What's with the hurry? You said the schedule's been moved. What's going on?
Yeah, yeah. We have a limited amount of time. We gotta get to our destination and get this job finished. They said we got fewer days than they thought originally.
They you got a call from the boss or something?
That's right.
Of course. They always like to change up the rules once we've already accepted the job, right?
Right back in the manager position, ain't you, Daniel?
Not well, to be the reminder of bad news, but we're out of car.
Well, we gotta go to that the shop and see if they can get your car towed over and we can figure it out from there. Try and work some of my magic.
Yeah, is there any... I'm horrible with machines, but is there anything I can do? Maybe hold a light for you, Elias? I feel bad that you're having to do this much work.
Not to worry, I feel as though the sun's got the light covered for now. But appreciate the help. You know, it's nice to see people, us helping each other, as he gives a glare to Emma Jane and walks past.
Fantastic.
As, yeah, you walk past, Emma Jane is blitzed out of her mind. She could care less. You tell me if I'm wrong, Meg.
I feel like she's like kind of fighting the come down at the minute.
Oh, no. Elias is going to ride the high horse of having, being like, oh, I won the battle of the morning.
I think Daniel's also, like, kind of giving Emma Jane, like, a up-and-down look, like, watching some of these signs of whatever's going wrong with Emma, and there's, like, a little curiosity and suspicion there, I think.
And so you guys make your way over to Jimmy's auto repair shop,
mm-hmm.
And you're there, the big, it's open. What time do you guys think you'd, because he said he opens at 8. So I'd ask Daniel, what time are you getting up, like getting people ready to go?
I think Daniel would have gotten up about 5 in the morning and then started getting people ready.
Okay.
So maybe get there.
At 5?
Oh, yeah. maybe get there around like
okay,
6 o'clock.
Guys. Okay. Well, if it's 6, then he's not even there yet. So you guys, it's early in the morning. Like, the sun is, like, just peeked through. It's still kind of even, like, gray.
It's a little stretch. Daniel, I'm getting the weirdest sense of deja vu. The door looks closed. Are you sure they opened at this time?
He said we could come by in the morning and get things checked out.
Well, if he's as busy as he says he is, it's probably good that we get first in line. So, hey, since we got some time to kill, Vincey, want to go? We could take a stroll back over to your car and see, make sure it's still there and in one piece. So,
Yeah.
You know, just so we can stretch our legs and, you know, we got time to kill. Maybe we leave Daniel and the princess to watch for the owners.
Yeah, that'd be great. Could we swing by the motel's little office? I saw a crappy little coffee maker and I could really use the boost.
You just read my mind, brother. Oh. And he offers a fist bump.
You'll return it. And that's what I like to hear.
And you guys make your way back to the Happy Motel.
Yeah, I think Vincent kind of rub out his eyes a bit, kind of make some coffee. He's not really looking at it. His vision's a little blurred. So he'll kind of...
Move your cup a little to the left. You're going to burn your hand, friend.
Shit. Yeah, thanks for the warning, I guess.
Well, speaking from experience, hot liquid on your hands kind of stings.
Yeah. Tell me about it. And he'll kind of rub at his hand with the edge of his jacket. Well, here's yours. You like it black, right?
No. I like it with a little cream and sugar, but I think I remember somebody who prefers it black.
Oh, my mistake. I think Vinka's got some packets over here.
Hey. Oh. Vincent.
Yeah.
I want to apologize for, getting a gun pointed at us the other day. I was not at my best decorum.
I distinctly remember you weren't holding the gun, so I don't fault you for that.
Yeah, well, they were pointing it at me, and I don't know what the fuck I did to piss Emma Jane off, but
yeah,
clearly, like, you would tell me if I was, like, giving off a weird vibe, right? You're usually my vibe check man.
I thought it was the gas station attendant. But,
that's the first person we meet on this road trip wants to shoot me in the face. That's a bad sign.
Yeah, you're not wrong. Every time I've talked with you, you've been pleasant enough. Forgive me for that that carburetor last time. Don't worry, I'll pay you back for that.
That's all right. My hand recovered.
Yeah. I figured I could fix it that time around, save a few bucks, and ended up spending more on that one. That's for sure.
You know who you are, Vincent?
Mm.
My brother had a term for people like you. You are the old reliable Elmer's glue. Because don't take that in the wrong way that you're sticky or anything like that, but you're like, oh, you keep things together when they should be falling apart.
Okay. And
you have this sort of demeanor where you seem as though you keep your head cool when others and gestures to himself might steam up.
Well, you need to give yourself a little more credit, Elias. When the car broke down, you went down into the problem, figured that out. But I appreciate it. I've never been called glue before, but I'll take it as a compliment.
Yeah, but my brother was better with words. He probably would have said it, and you wouldn't have been as confused as you appear. Hey. But let's go drop these coffees off to Daniel and Miss Half Awake, and we can go.
Sounds good. Come on, Rhonda. No, Rhonda, kind of fall behind him.
I would say that took about 30, 40 minutes, and the walk back. So it's about an hour to get there and back. So now it's like closer to 7. Don't see Jimmy just yet, but the sun is out. It's clear. It's morning. You see a couple people walking over to, you see Ramona's Food and Liquor. See, like, an older woman heading into, like, this low-sheet metal building with barbed wire on the roof, a little metal gate at the entrance. She unlocks the doors and heads inside. And you see another woman head into Burger Box as you guys are making your way over to the auto shop.
Well, damn. Well, depending on how long this might take, at least there's some food options.
Yeah. You can't beat Burger Box.
Whilst they head off, Emma Jane's going to lean against the shop, sort of rest her elbows on her knees. You needed to get up this early to wait outside this guy's shop, huh? The mission being brought forward meant that we had to do this.
Are you just upset because you had other plans?
No, it's just... I mean, don't get me wrong, I'm eager to get a job done as much as the next person. It's just, it seems excessive, no? I mean, I'd heard you were eager to get the job done, but I mean, this is above and beyond. You really are a hard worker.
Just like you, working through the night from the sounds of it.
Oh, touché, Mr. Collier. And she'll, like, rub her forehead a little bit, sort of, like, get rid of the headache. Touché. Do you have any water?
I'm sure I got something in my bag here.
You are. This is why you're my favorite one on this road trip, and I haven't even said that to anybody else yet. And she'll like take the water and go round the side, and then immediately as she's out of sight, she'll sort of like bend down again and like start sort of like dousing like herself with the water a little bit to sort of like stop the shakes and like chill out a bit more. And sort of like get it under control.
Elias, you come. You see them walking up. Elias is holding coffee.
Well, good morning, Daniel and Emma Jane. We brought fuel for the morning.
Yeah, coffee, just like how y'all like it. Wasn't sure how much sugar might people wanted, so I grabbed some extra sugar packets, you know. No sign of him yet?
Nothing so far. Hoping he should be here soon.
Nothing as of yet, and she'll come back around the corner. This is an extremely pleasant surprise. Thank you. Let me get breakfast. How much do I owe? Let me know. She'll begin.
It was complimentary, $5 wouldn't hurt.
You don't.
Take 10. Sure.
Thank you kindly, Emma Jane. And Vincent will take that and exchange it for the cup.
And she'll give like a really like false smile as she like hands over an extra 10 to Vincent. He is fleecing her so good.
Oh my god. I'll say at this point it's like 7:15. You see a truck roll up. Older man, like he's driving in the truck. You see part of his hair is kind of balding, his brown hair. Kind of a little lanky, looks a little bit gruff as he steps out. He goes, good morning. You guys are all here early. How can I help you?
Hi, I'm Daniel. Jimmy, I think we spoke on the phone last night.
Yes, we did. You rolled up in here with some bad luck with your car. Yeah.
Yeah.
Whose car
broke
was
down
it?
Around the
He's
corner.
Like pointing.
Yeah.
Okay. What kind of car you got here? What kind of truck is it?
A Land Rover Defender, one of the nicest one on the market. It's just a little bit of a tire blowout, nothing too serious. And he'll kind of side eye Elias as if to get confirmation because he's not entirely sure.
There's a bit more going on inside with the engine. The blown tires, just a superfluous issue. It won't start anymore. We need to get the engine looked at. It's like a bunch of raccoons were dancing inside of it or something.
Okay. Well, listen, we don't have a tow truck right now in Littleville, so I have a connection on the back of my truck. What we're going to do is you're going to come with me, sir. And he points at you, Vincent. We're going to go hook up your truck to the back of mine, and we're going to pull it around here.
Sounds
Does that sound
perfect.
Good? And he comes back. It only took about 20 minutes. They're gone. You see him like reversing your car back into his garage, lifts up the garage, and he asks, hey, can I get you fellas to help me? The car is in neutral now. If you ask, you just push it back into this area right here, and I will hold the wheel and start directing it.
Yeah, sure, no problem.
What, Emma Jane?
Emma Jane lifts up her hands and she's like, you said fellas.
Here we go.
He didn't say ladies. So he goes, so tires are one thing, but it sounds like there's a battery issue too.
Yeah, if you pop the hood up and see what's going on inside the engine and some of the connections there, the drive belt might be snapped.
I hear you. Okay. So, yeah, I mean, we've been having some power issues around here lately. Surge blew out half the town's juice last night, so it's pretty normal.
It's a shame when that's normal.
But you find a way to live with it, you know?
Yeah,
what I mean?
Yeah.
Gotta make do.
I feel you.
So I'm gonna take a look at this. I'm gonna have all you guys just go sit in the office, or you can go eat. I'm gonna go run diagnostics, and it'll probably take about an hour. Well, I'll take a look at everything that's going on with this
truck. If you want, I can sit and help. I apologize. I'm also a mechanic. I own my own shop back in town, so if you
need an extra set of hands. And I'm familiar with Vincent's pride and joy here. I can give you...
Okay. Well, how about this? Let me do my own diagnostics. You take a seat in the office. I'll call you in when I need a second pair of eyes.
Works for me.
Jimmy, there's an extra $20 in it for you if you can speed that up.
Extra 20 bucks? Okay, then now is, you guys are rich folk.
Well, we're folk in a hurry.
Oh, I see. Well, yeah, let me do my diagnostic. That's going to take its time. I can't rush that.
All right.
So, while he does that, where do you guys want to go?
Well, I know at least Vincent's going to kind of just look in the alleyways for a bit, just to check if Rhonda's over there. Just nonchalantly. He's not worried.
You don't see her. SMH.
It's fine.
Not the SMH.
She always comes back. She knows what she's doing. But that does worry me a bit. She?
Only a bit.
I think I would just kind of step. I'm just going to carefully sneak around, maybe give it a little look. I'm not really a detective, but I'll see where maybe she may have gone. Maybe she left some tracks in this alleyway.
There's no tracks in the alleyway, then.
Oh, no.
She's not here. Listen, I gave you this dog at session zero, and I'm not trying to hurt it, but if you're going to be irresponsible...
You have to feed it, you have to walk it, you have to know where it is.
I really shouldn't have gotten rid of that leash.
Okay, sounds like, Vincent, you're going to go look for your dog?
Yeah, I'll ask around. Maybe somebody's seen her. She's pretty noticeable. Little bright brown fur, so... I'll see if I can...
Way too nonchalant.
See if I can find it.
Okay. Emma Jane and Daniel?
I wanted to put on my neurocaster to put Betty's details in with Bolo.
Okay, you see Emma Jane, she pieces out and goes back to the motel.
She's still kind of Daniel? Like holding the water bottle to her head maybe a little bit.
Well, I guess someone who said they'd cover my breakfast ain't going to go pick it up, all right. Daniel, I'll stay with Jimmy here and keep an eye, making sure he does right by the vehicle.
All right, I guess I can go pick us up some food, I suppose, if we're going to be waiting anyway.
Appreciate that, sir. I'll make sure he doesn't give you the runaround. I know the types who try to make problems worse than they are. I mean, Vincent's is in pretty shitty shape, but I think we can save the engine, so.
There's one thing I trust you to do, is take care of the car, Elias, so... You got this. I'll be back. I'll get some food. I'll run over to like the burger box over here or something.
Sounds good. I'm not picky. And thank you.
Yeah. I got it. And Daniel will head over to towards the burger box.
My last cigarette was 11:52 last night.
Yeah, you head to the burger box, and it's still pretty early. It's like 8 a.m. So it's like breakfast burgers. You know? Yeah, so it's breakfast burgers. And you are the only one in there at this early hour. And you open up, you hear a little ding of the door as you head inside. And you see... like a dark-skinned woman. She's wearing a red apron, a green T-shirt, and a little patch that says Burger Box on it. And she kind of is... You see her, like, in the kitchen, like, moving around, getting things ready. And you hear, like, the steam of, like, burgers that have been flattened on the stove. But her back is turned towards you now.
I'll walk up to the counter and just... Hello, ma'am. Just trying to get a few burgers to go here pretty quickly.
Oh, and then you kind of startle her. Oh, good morning. Nobody's usually here this morning. I'm usually getting everything prepped for the lunch crowd, but I can get you something. Hi, my name is Daisy. What's your name, sir?
Pleasure to meet you, Daisy. The name's Daniel. Yeah, I don't mean to be a bother, but just something quick.
Of course not. Something quick?
Yeah, whatever's easiest. I need probably four burgers and maybe... whatever side, hash browns or whatever you got.
Oh, you got actually hash brown is in the burger.
Even better.
Okay. This is my, well, I like to call it the Daisy special. It's for people who come in this early. It's very, very rare. But it has hash browns in it, has a fried egg in it as well. It does come with the beef burger and a special sesame seed bun.
Give me four of those. Sounds great.
Can I get you anything to drink?
Let's do, given the state of my friends here, lots of water, maybe one.
Water, yeah.
Give me two Cokes.
Two Cokes? Morning Coke? Sure.
Trying to stay awake on the road.
Sure, I'll get you. I hear. You mentioned the road. I haven't seen you here before. You new in town?
Just passing through, ma'am. We had some car troubles. We'll be out of here pretty quickly.
Hey, there's no rush. Everybody's welcome here to Littleville. But I'll get started on your order.
Thank you very much.
And, she just smiles and then heads back into the kitchen.
I want that sandwich.
Sounds so good.
love a morning Coke.
Give me a breakfast burger with a morning Coke.
That's right.
God. We head back over to Jimmy's place. He goes about 30 minutes past, 45 minutes, and he goes, "Hey, I don't know if did you tell him your name, but you've seen him like squatting underneath the engine. He's looking. He has a flashlight in his hand. You can see his face looks more not frustrated, but confused about what he's looking at. About 40 minutes in, he calls you. He's like, "Hey, sir," and he waves you over.
He saunters over. "Yeah, let me help you out, old-timer."
"Hey, did you give me your name for..."
Elias. Elias Bonney.
"Elias, hey, come take a look at this." And
sure.
He has a flashlight in his hand. He points it. He says, "This didn't snap. That's a clean cut. I just want you to know someone knew what they were doing." And he kind of like... eyes are kind of narrowing slightly. "This wire is the kind that keeps your current grounded. You know that. Without it, this battery's fried itself while you're driving. This isn't something that just broke eventually. You see this?" And he pulls, like, the two wires, and he goes, "That's a fresh cut, my friend."
Sherlock fucking Holmes. Now, this is something that obviously, yeah, it looks like it's a clean cut. No critter did this. I apologize for the raccoon analogy. This is definitely not the work of the little trash pandas.
I don't think so.
Bleak.
And he wipes his hand on a rag. He kind of stands up a bit. "Now, here's the deal. I'll need a new ground wire, a clean battery, maybe a fresh coil if the current cooked the old one. That's not counting the tire you're missing." Kind of whistles low. "You're looking around 400, maybe 500 parts, tools, my time. It's a lot."
Help you out with it, would you maybe be willing to cut maybe like 50 off of that? I'd be happy just to, you know, because I see a multi-tier job here, I understand. And when I used to work with my brother, we would get things done double time. So I understand four hands is better than two.
I hear you, but it is not I know you're a mechanic yourself. It's just not commonplace for customers to be helping out the mechanic. You understand.
I completely understand. You know what? Elias thinks to people who've been waving money around to solve problems. I'm sure we can cover that.
Okay, it's going to take some time.
You sure I can't help you just a little bit? At least maybe hold the flashlight for you?
Listen, I got some of my boys. They're not here because it's real early, but I got my own help. I got my own help.
Oh, nice.
I got some of the folks around town coming to help me, and I got Jorge. He's coming in soon, so.
That's good when the community can come together and help each other out. I like that.
Exactly. Nice. Speaking of community, I'd like to invite you somewhere.
Oh.
You're new in town, and we like to make sure that everybody's on the up and up. You know what I mean? You come into Littleville, we just got to make sure you're on the you're straight.
I assure you, I apologize if I look a little scraggly. I did try to clean up a bit as he goes to a small nick on his neck from shaving.
No, Vrandy, you just listen. I can knock off a few bucks. You come down to the sermon, or head to the church. Go talk to Father Marcos. You and your friends.
Father Marcos. All right.
Yep.
We can go. Sure, we can make a little stop.
Listen, he's there every morning. Not a lot of people are there right now. There's a sermon tonight that he'll probably invite you to.
Oh, well, we...
But it's just something we do here in Littleville. We invite new folks there just to make sure we can trust
him. I appreciate that. We might want to be hitting the road as soon as we can. I'll talk to my associates and see what we want to do, because we are on a bit of a time schedule, as Daniel mentioned.
I understand. Listen, the fastest I can get you a fresh battery is tomorrow morning.
I was afraid you'd say that.
You know how it goes, friend. You have a shop.
I was just hoping maybe you had one lying around.
I'm sorry.
No, it's fine. I can be the bearer of bad news. They already don't like me anyway, so I can let them be mad at me and not you.
Listen, you talk to Father Marcos? I talk to him all the time. If he says that you guys are straight, then maybe I can get something to happen a little bit faster.
Elias raises an eyebrow at that statement. Huh. He's kind of like your head of the community, in a way.
You could say that.
That's nice. That's nice, man of the cloth. Usually a good sign.
Man of the cloth. Yeah.
All right.
It's a bunch of the folks that keep this place standing, you know what I mean? I could probably knock it down a good $100, maybe more, if you make a good impression on him. But I respect his authority and what he says.
All right. Elias is definitely has some ideas in his head that he wants to say, but he realizes he does not have home field advantage in this mechanic shop. So he's like, all right, I'll talk to my folks, and we'll go see the pastor.
Okay.
We'll see if we can smooth it on over and give him a warm smile and get this train moving. Car. No, it's not a train, it's a car.
Yes, sir, it is. Now, this car will be sitting here because I officially have not gotten any payment. I haven't heard from Father Marcos. So it will just be sitting here. So as soon as you can go talk to him and I can get payment, I will get started.
Wait, now, that's weird. Is it because we're out of town you don't want to get started, or... Because I understand, like, not doing work until, you know, some of it's paid. I get that, but that's just... Daniel should be back at some point. I'll talk to him. He's our manager man, so I'll see what he says, and we'll figure this out. It's just a...
Okay.
Long morning. We've been driving from south for a while, so we're a little weary, so I apologize if we're coming off a little curt. I'm told sometimes I can be a bit brash, so I apologize if I'm being a little too forward with you.
No, I wasn't getting that intention at all. Actually seemed like a nice man. But it's just something we do for every person who's new in Littleville. We just have them go talk to Father Marcos. He's got a good eye, you know what I mean? He knows he can pick out the bad apples.
You know, my brother had the same sort of gift. But he had two good eyes.
Well, he's a good man then.
Yeah.
And then we're going to cut to Daniel. And you see her like wrapping up the burger. She's walked back over and she's putting them in a bag for you. She says, would this be to go, or are y'all eating here?
No, ma'am. To go would be great.
Okay. And like while she's wrapping up stuff, she goes, so where are you guys driving in from?
Oh, we're coming across the border from the South Republic.
From the South Republic. We're still in the South Republic.
Oh, sorry, ma'am. It's been a long few couple of days.
I bet.
We got a job.
What city you coming from?
Oh, goodness, ma'am. East of here. Southeast of here.
Oh, gotcha. Probably Austin, then.
Yeah, thereabouts.
Yeah. And y'all will be leaving here soon?
As soon as our car is ready to go, that's why I'm in a hurry.
Yeah, I mean, Jimmy's the best. He knows what he's doing when it comes to cars. So
good to hear. I'm hoping he can get us up and running here shortly.
And you see her, like, moving slowly to put the burgers in the bag.
and the drinks. And she looks like she's hesitating a little bit.
Is there a problem?
I just, y'all said you were leaving town?
Yes, ma'am.
Are you guys going to talk to Father Marcos? Do you know who that is?
No, ma'am. We don't have any plans to.
He runs the congregation, the church. And you said y'all are leaving.
Yeah, yes, ma'am. We've gone over this a few times now. Can I?
I'm sorry. I'm sorry. Yeah. I'm sorry. We haven't had newcomers in a while. No way to get out, you know what I mean? For us who live here.
Yeah, I mean, a place called Littleville is a bit out in the sticks, you know?
It's just sometimes you feel like you want to leave, but you can't get out of under the thumb of certain people.
Ma'am, are you in trouble?
And she leans in. Can I get you to roll empathy for me?
Yes.
Ooh.
Do it. Do it.
Ooh. That's my
one success.
One success. She goes, I'm going to be honest with you. I really need help getting out of the town. It's not that I'm stuck here per se, but I can't just walk out of here. And y'all have a car? I'm just asking for help to get out of town. That's all I'm asking.
Ma'am, we don't have much time, but if you want to get out of here, we can make room for you and at least get you out of Littleville.
She, looks side to side and looks out. Somebody's about to make their way in. A couple's about to walk in. You'll be at Jimmy's?
Yes, ma'am.
And then the couple walks in. Oh! And her face changes as they come in. It's this older couple. Oh, hi, Mr. and Mrs. Suarez. Your usual morning. Good morning. And they say, they seem very nice and cordial to her. They say, good morning. God bless you. She says, yep. God bless you. And there's a little bit of fear in her eyes. And she hands you your meal and your drinks. And she says, here you go, sir, Daniel. My name is Daisy again. Remember that, Daisy.
Thank you, Daisy. And I'll lean in so that anybody inside can't hear and just say, you can find us at Jimmy's if you want to get the hell out of here.
And her eyes are kind of wide as she just nods at you.
And I'll take the bag and leave.
And smile goes back on. You have a good day, sir. Hopefully we'll see you at the sermon later. And the couple kind of nod their heads at her and smile.
I'll just wave. Yes, yeah, at the sermon later.
God bless you. And she goes to go talk to them, take their order.
All right, Daniel will take the food and head back to Jimmy's auto shop.
In the far reaches of the world, under a lost and lonely hill, lies the forgotten Tomb of Corridors and all its many ills. This labyrinthine crypt filled with monsters, traps, and treasure seeks to destroy your mortal form and seal your soul forever. Originally called Tomb of Horrors, based off the original created in 1979, included in my version of Tomb of Corridors will be its own background information, a legend of the tomb as it relates to the land of Hyrenor, and quite a few unserious hijinks. I'm Amelia Salm, and I will be your dungeon master. Embarking within the tomb, we also have
Haley as the Queen's Ravens,
Stella Jo as the Sacrificial Sisters of Alpha Kappa Mori,
Cyrus as a lesbian who keeps coming back wrong.
New episodes release on Mondays, wherever you get your podcasts.
We're going to cut to Rhonda. No, I'm kidding.
joins the chat. We're in the eyes of Rhonda.
Rhonda joins the chat.
Vincent, you're searching for Rhonda.
Yeah, I was thinking kind of, he went up East Main Street towards Ramona's Food and Liquor, because I figure that's a food place. Maybe Rhonda got a scent for that. But his casual walk kind of changes to a brisk speed walk and then kind of a light jog as he's kind of glancing down each street just to see if he can find her.
And I don't want to do this to you.
It's all good. Poor Arcturus. I kind of asked
for it on that one. Go ahead, give me a wits roll as you're trying to search for her.
You got to make the dice do it to her.
Alrighty. You got this.
One making success. The dice do it.
Yippee!
Big few.
Whew. You hear a bark coming from behind Ramona's liquor store.
Rhonda, is that you? Stay right there. Begin running over.
And you head back there, and you see Ramona, like a big woman, comes out. She looks older. She's like very tan skin and gray hair, and she has her gray smock on. She goes, "Oh, hey, girl," to Rhonda, and then Rhonda goes up to her, and like her tail's wagging. She's sniffing her, and the woman kind of bends down, starts giving her scritches behind the ear.
Hey. Thank goodness you found
her. Hey.
Oh.
Oh.
Sorry.
Good morning. You're not from around here, are you?
No, just passing through. Lost track of my dog here, Rhonda.
You a spy for Father Marcos?
I've never met Father Marco.
He's often sending people over here to come check up on me.
Well.
And she does like that in quotes. And she's looking at you kind of suspiciously.
Well, I'm not employed by Father Marco. Neither is Rhonda here. So I think we can all just settle down a bit.
Oh, I'm settled. Who are you?
Well, my name's Vincer.
Mm-hmm. Where are you from?
Rather not say.
And why is that?
Just passing through. Figure you don't need to know that.
Passing through, huh?
Yeah.
You sure you're not checking up on me and my store?
I don't believe you got anything to hide, so no reason for me to check.
I certainly don't.
That's understood. Well, I believe that most people should be paid for their services, and you found my dog and pull out the $10. And I think we didn't see each other. We can just go off separate ways.
And you see her kind of, her hand goes behind her back.
Don't. Whatever you're going to do, don't.
Can you roll empathy for me?
You got this.
One success.
Ooh. Let's go. Ooh.
So you're not from around here. Her hand comes back up into the front. Listen. Father Marcos is a stain on this community. That's all I'm saying. Okay? He's constantly sending people over here to check up on me. I already lost my son Jorge to him, and now they're trying to get me to convert or whatever. I won't do it.
How much sway does this Father Marcos hold?
A lot.
Well,
this whole town is addicted to those things. He wants me to put on one of those helmets and see the angel. I won't do it. I just want my son back.
One of Father Marco's spies?
He works for him. He's working with Jimmy at his shop. I don't trust any of them.
Sounds like you should leave. Board up this place and just don't look back. Sounds like you've got a lot of trouble.
Listen, it's easy to say that, but I do depend on the little business that I do get.
I think you should just walk away from this.
It's not so easy getting out of here. First, you need a car. And let me tell you, not much people here have a car to get out of here. And I can't just leave my son. You know how it is. Do you have kids?
No, I don't have kids.
Well, you got this little kid here. And she points down to Rhonda.
Yeah, but I've been told it's not the same.
You can't just leave her, right?
No. Hope you're not implying anything.
No, I'm just saying. It's the same for me. I can't just leave my son here.
Well, you really can't force him to leave, though. That's the thing.
You're right about that. You can't force anybody to do anything. I keep telling myself he'll come here and come home, but every night he's back at that church smiling like somebody rewired his brain.
And they're all using neurocasters?
They're putting on those helmets every night, walking around, talking about seeing an angel. But listen, if for some reason, if you're over at Jimmy's, if you talk to him, maybe he'll listen. He won't listen to me anymore, or at least if you can just help pull him out before they ask him to do something he can't undo, you know?
Yeah, I know.
I'm sorry, I just met you and I'm asking for help. It's just, I can't talk to anybody in this town. And I believe if you're new, you're not part of whatever he's got going on at that church.
Yeah.
And this might be someone who can help me. And I haven't had help in years, so I guess I'm just taking a chance on you.
Yeah, yeah. I'll look into it. I don't have a lot of time here, but if I can get him to leave, I'll try.
That's all I can ask. You need anything from inside? I can get you. Are you a smoking man too? And you can see she has like a pack of cigarettes like tucked in her thing.
A smoke would be great.
Listen, here you go. And she takes the pack out. It's like half filled. You take this. Hopefully it'll keep you relaxed.
Yeah. Well, I'm going to take my dog and I'll see you. He'll grab the pack and slowly make his way out.
She just nods at you as you take Rhonda. And we're back at Jimmy's Auto Shop.
Hi, any luck? Has it been going good? Are we any closer to...
Let's have a talk over here.
Okay. Yeah, we can talk. Yep.
And at that time, you also see Daniel coming with like a white bag.
Oh, thank God.
White, greasy bag of food. And a couple Cokes and some waters.
You know what they say, you gotta hydrate or dehydrate out here.
Yeah, the waters are for you, Emma.
Exactly. Perfect. Thank you. She'll, like, grab both and then go to, like, uncap them both, but stop and only take the one.
Hey.
Thank you.
Listen, guys, got a problem. So
another one?
Yeah, another one.
Oh.
Sorry to ruin your day, but apparently something cut one of the wires to the battery inside of Vincent's van. Something that wasn't no critter, that wasn't no cause of wear and tear. Something was clean cut. Now, in my experience, unless that was done manually or done by some kind of tiny ass drone, that was sabotage. And what's worse is Jimmy here is holding the truck hostage until we pay him. And we also go talk to this fucking pastor. I don't know if any of you are churchgoers, but they kind of stopped going a few years back and don't have anything nice to say in the man in the sky.
You gotta be fucking kidding me.
Yeah, no, he's not gonna let us take the vehicle out. Well, it's gonna, just to get the battery replaced is gonna take some time, but even then, he's saying he won't even start working on the vehicle until we get a seal of approval from whoever this padre is. I'll say it for you. This is fucked.
Yes, this is fucked.
Finally, we agree. Perfect. And listen, this is a fucking weird situation. So we got no time to be worried about not whether or not we can trust each other, because I don't fucking trust anyone here. And I want to be able to trust everybody within our little vehicle here. And he looks at Emma.
Mm-hmm.
Do you trust me? Because I want to trust you. And despite every part of my bones telling me that I shouldn't trust someone who has a bit of this reputation that I keep telling myself, no, she's just a survivor. She's just smarter than everyone else. And that's why people call her these names. But I know you didn't mean to have that lady put her gun in my face. But you should know better than anybody here that words can be deadlier than a gun itself. So please, don't make me regret wanting to trust you. Please.
That was a lot kinder. than I thought your temperament would let you be right now.
Well, I had a good night's sleep.
I deserve that one. I deserve that one.
You guys gotta back me up when I gotta give Vincent the bad news.
Fully there with you.
What's the plan, then? We're gonna go talk to this Marco fella, or how the fuck are we gonna get out of here?
We do whatever it takes to get us out of here fast. That's the plan.
Elias, can you fix the car?
I'm gonna need a battery. Elias peers over. He does think that, I think if push came to shove, if things go tits up, we could, I could remove the battery from Jimmy's truck, get it inside of his, but I'm still gonna need the wires. It's still gonna take me time to do that. And also, do it unnoticed would be a whole other circus, but if this Marco seems like a bad seed, I have ways of making a machine work.
So we have a shifty plan B and a plan A. It seems good enough.
Hey, A's and B's are good in school.
Exactly. Exactly.
Well, let's get this moving. By the way, where the fuck is Vincent?
He mentioned something about his dog.
Oh, I thought he was with you.
No, why would he be with me?
I don't know. I just didn't see him.
And then you hear the panting of a dog coming up behind you guys.
He found the dog.
And Rhonda make their way.
Oh, well, okay. I found her.
Fans back together. Good job.
What's the consensus on the car? Oh.
Well, apparently the vehicle is needs a lot of work, and Jimmy won't work on it until we get an A-OK from Father Marcos. So he won't even start working on your vehicle until we go talk to him, and he says that we're cool, or whatever the fuck that means.
Something about that just doesn't sit right with me. I had this chat with the lady down near a restaurant. She seemed a little worried about the guy. Doesn't seem like he's playing with a full deck.
Well, I had a talk with a lady at the burger box who said she was trying to get out of here. She said she was sounded like she was afraid of staying here with all the, I don't know, church business going on.
Well, if it sounds like a madman, it talks like a madman, it preaches like a madman. Fuck.
I mean, it's not like we're going there to be indoctrinated. We just go, we play nice, we get our seal of approval, he fixes the car, we leave.
There's one bit of disconcerting news. Apparently, they're having people try on neurocasters to see angels. Not sure what kind of process that involves, but just try not to put anything on your head.
Not what I would use a neurocaster for, but it's certainly inventive.
Well, let's go talk to this Marco fella and see what the fuck is going on. I just want to get this battery and get out of here.
Perfect.
Now, as you guys approach, it's like this low, wide, wooden building on the outskirts of Littleville. There's no cross, no stained glass, just like a hand-painted roadside sign that reads, Church of the Angels. Large ash tree stands sentinel beside a gravel parking lot that you guys have to walk through to get to the front door. There's a few tired pickup trucks that sit under some branches, out of commission. The church looks more like an aging community hall than a place of worship. Near the entrance, you see, like, half-torn, a sun-bleached, faded poster.
Oh.
It says, Join the luminaries. Let go of your earthly possessions. Ascend. If you crave purpose, if you long for a calling, we are waiting. The corners are curling and someone's tried to scrub it clean, but the words still linger. Probably ghosts from a sermon long past. What do you guys do?
I think Vincent, he sees the nice cool shade of that tree, and so he'll be, hey, Rhonda, come over here for a second. Let me check your collar and sit down. Feels nice, and so he'll kind of, I'll catch up with you guys in just a second. I need a sec here. Just lay back and kind of begin to close his eyes and take a small nap.
That man could take a nap anywhere.
Emma Jane will, have a look at the sign at the poster. She'll sort of like fold it up, like peel it up a little bit to sort of read it. The luminaries. Huh.
You heard of that?
I mean, whoever they are, there's a few pockets of them about. Mm. Not just here. A fair while from here, actually. One of them was pretty big, too. Now that I think about it. Nothing too important. Nothing that, you know, you need to worry about, but noble enough.
I'm worried
enough
about the sign. I'm just worried about people emboldened by the sign. Elias is going to eye over the you said there was a couple of out of commission pick, like trucks and stuff in the like nearby.
Well, they look like it. You'd have to take a closer look.
Okay. I'm going to stretch my legs for a second. I'm going to take a look over, and he's going to lean into Daniel and Emma Jane and be like, take a look and see if these vehicles have also had some things going on, and also see if they have what we might need. Just going to go over there. And
if you're checking over these vehicles, you're looking over the vehicles. I believe that'll be a wits roll. I was just trying to think of like the right roll.
Okay. I can do that.
Yeah.
Oh, shit. No.
Oh, my.
Oh, my gosh.
I'm going to push that.
What'd you get on that first
one? No successes on 7 dice, but on pushing it, I got 1 success.
Okay. And you notice that this is a 1994 Jeep Cherokee 4-wheel drive, and this one is actually still in commission. As you're checking it out, you notice everything looks like it's on the up and up.
Elias, he stands back up and he does like a big yawn and stretch and taps on the hood of the Jeep and then wanders back over.
Okay, so you guys are outside the church. You haven't gone in yet.
I think that's a solid plan C.
All right. Let's speak to this Father Marcos then. Emma Jane, you sound like you know a good bit about these luminaries. Are you looking to do the talking?
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, how difficult can these guys be? They seem very reasonable. That girl you spoke to said she seemed very desperate to leave. What did that conversation entail exactly?
Her name's Daisy. She was being real cryptic, but she made it almost sound like she was scared or in trouble. She kind of almost looked like she was putting on a front about going to the sermon to the church here. So she said she might try to catch a ride with us, meet us at Jimmy's shop.
Okay, so she's... Are we taking her with us for the whole journey, or...?
I told her we could get her out of Littleville. We can drop her off at the next town, but she seemed pretty desperate.
That's fair. That seems fair enough. I'm not that cruel. Okay, yeah. No, I'll talk to them. That seems fine. That's fair enough. Before we go in there, is there anything absolutely necessary that anybody would like me to get across to this guy?
We need a battery, we need Jimmy's cooperation, and we need to get the fuck out of here.
What he said.
Okay, perfect. Let's go. And she'll sort of push open. She won't push open the doors. I'll say that's really dramatic. She'll gently open the doors.
Let's go. She kicks open the doors.
This is a very different tone.
Swift motion.
Inside is something else. The main hall, as you open it up, is simple, clean. You see rolls of folding chairs line the room, each with a Neurocaster helmet resting on its seat, like a prayer book. At the far end, you see like a modest altar sits beneath an old fluorescent fixture, kind of flickers faintly, like struggling to stay lit. A few locals mill about, quiet but watchful, as they see all of you, new people, walk in. And at the center, adjusting a placement of a chair with his back to you, you see who you would presume to be Father Marcos, as he's wearing, like, his, like, Catholic... What's the outfit that... I don't know Catholicism.
Yeah,
the white collar.
Do they use...
Yes,
they
exactly. He has, like, the white collar on and things like that. He's wearing a tan skin, looks to be... Latino, older gentleman, and he turns around. Yeah. Oh, Welcome, friends. You must be the travelers Jimmy spoke of. It's good that you've come. Few people seek truth anymore. Fewer still arrive early for it. Good morning.
Good morning. You must be Father Marcos.
It is I. And his hands go up.
Yeah, Jimmy had a lot of nice things to say.
Ah, Jimmy, he's very devout. I appreciate him.
This place is very impressive, and she'll kind of, like, spin around on the spot so she can take it all in.
He, like, shows the chair. He, like, gestures slowly to the chairs. We keep it simple here. No stained glass, no organs or choirs, just signal, just silence, just connection.
Well, we were told you wanted to meet us. We've had some car trouble. You know, we were told to come down, have a chat, see if there was anything we could help you with.
Yes. Come, have a seat.
Sure. She'll sort of settle down and, like, gesture to the other seats for the others to sit down.
Do you guys sit?
Daniel will peek out the door. Is Vincent still... are you, like, laying outside, just kind of napping?
Yeah, you can kind of see that Rhonda's curled up in his lap and his head is just knocked against the tree. He's out.
I'll just kind of call out to you softly, like, we'll be right back, Vincent. And, like, step in and I'll have a seat.
You'll find the helmets comfortable. Familiar, even. Some say the angels know who's ready before the wearer does. But there's no rush. You put it on when you feel the call. And his hands are just behind his back. As he looks like he's just kind of like waiting.
Now, are you asking us to put these on or just have a conversation with you? Just trying to make sure we are on the same page with you. We're in a bit of a hurry. The car is in rough shape. Jimmy, a very capable mechanic, by the way, from experience. But we have a bit of a limited time. So urgency and all that. I apologize if I'm delaying you in any way.
There is no delay here in Littleville, my friend. I have all the time in the world. I'll wait for you.
To sit?
To put on the Neurocaster.
Oh.
To hear the voice. Sometimes it's quieter than what you hear at night, but some find that more honest.
Elias is going to take a look at the Neurocasters. Do they look like... what is extremely noticeable about? Like, do they look new? Are they jury-rigged together? Like...
some of them look jury-rigged. Some of them look like the ones that you guys have personally. They're all wireless. At least the ones in here are.
Okay.
Emma Jane's eyes have not left her assigned Neurocaster. Do we all have to hear the voice? Or what if some of us did it on behalf of the group? Would that be okay?
I implore all of you to try.
And she'll kind of turn to the others. Well, I mean, do we want to get out of here or?
He says there's no pressure, but I've learned that people often avoid what they most need. So I understand what you're doing here. Yes.
Daniel grabs the Neurocaster by him, kind of looking hard at this device that was part of the reason for his divorce and even a bigger reason in taking his daughter away from him.
Mm-hmm.
Sets it back on the seat and says, I'm afraid we won't be putting these on today, Father Marcos. We just need to get a battery for our vehicle, and we need Jimmy's cooperation. Isn't that right, friends?
Yeah. It's been some time since I've had one of these on. I think I'd probably break it by mistake anyway, so I'd rather not waste your time with it. Elias is sweating.
And you, miss?
If that's the consensus, then...
then you are no friends of the church, yeah. And you will get the fuck out.
That is the plan.
And he steps back, and everybody in the room stands up and goes to stand by his side as he just glares at you three.
Okay.
Well, I didn't know pastors could swear. We will go. We apologize for wasting your time. My mama raised me to be tolerant of everybody's visions and not be so...
Leave!
Not now, Elias, please. Please. And she'll start, like, pulling you a little bit. Okay. I understand, but not, right, not, right. Not now.
Daniel moves towards the door.
And as you guys step out, the doors slam behind you. You can almost, like, feel it on whoever's the last one out. Almost hits you.
Holy shit.
And, I didn't know angels approved of such language, but, he looks over to Daniel. I think we might be having to look at Plan C, because, if he's telling us to F off, Jimmy's not going to be any more help, and,
Yeah, let's just, fuck these guys. Let's go to Plan C. And she just starts, like, moving towards, like, the car they scouted earlier. Just, like, with a wave of her hand, like, fuck this.
Hey, Daniel.
Daniel's, like, clenching and unclenching his fist, jaw clenched. Yeah.
I've seen that before. The wanting to, seeing something that just wells up your feelings. Just count to three. That's what I do. But I didn't know you had that in you to stand up to someone like that. That was pretty badass. That helps you feel a little better.
Thank you, Elias. I think all our hopes are in you. You think you can steal one of these batteries?
Well, I don't know if I could. Taking the battery might be tricky. What I was personally thinking was we play the little dance with the wires and just take the thing. But looking at Vincent, that might take some convincing.
Yeah, Daniel looks over at Vincent and is like,
But whatever maybe. We're going to do, we're going to have to do it fast. Because I have a feeling they're going to want us out faster than we can walk. So,
can you get started on Plan C and I'll see if I can talk to Vincent about the car.
Yeah. Elias flashes underneath his little jacket. He's got like his little set of tools with him. Like not everything, but like a good set amount. He's like, I can do a little bit with this.
You see Emma Jane, she's like walking towards Vincent, but she keeps looking back like expectantly at Daniel and like towards Vincent with like a shrug. Like, I don't know where to begin. Help me. She like waits for you.
Daniel will walk over to you to kind of like approach Vincent with you together. Vincent.
Hey, Vincent.
Definitely Rhonda stirs a bit, but Vincent's just kind of just dead to the world. He's kind of just lolled to the side. So Rhonda kind of perks up a bit at your voice and kind of looks at you expectantly and before kind of nestling back down.
Oh, fuck, this isn't... Oh, fucking hell. And she'll like sort of like knock your foot to like wake you up a little bit.
Thing where like you hear like a snore and it kind of gurgles a bit and it kind of rolls over. But it seems like he's very deep.
Oh my god.
And as you're kind of seeing him, there's these very dark circles under his glasses as they kind of fall down when he rolls over, as if he hadn't slept the night before.
Is he hanging out with you last night?
Vincent, wake up.
You guys hear a cacophony of cars making their way to the church.
Oh my god. Vincent, wake up.
Rhonda kind of scurries out from over Vincent, kind of sniffs at some of the cars before kind of heading back.
Daniel will like grab
this
Vincent
ain't no time
by
to be casual.
Yeah, like haul him to his feet. Vincent, we got to get going.
There was no time for Plan B or Plan A. Plan A failed. Plan B's fucked. We had to go to Plan C. Plan C doesn't involve your car. I'm really sorry about it, but we don't have time. We have to move! And she'll, like, haul him, like, with you, Daniel, and start moving towards the car that Elias is hotwiring.
And that's where we're going to end the episode for tonight.
Worst time to wake up from a nap.
Thanks for listening to the Electric State Operation Firewall. I'm Maia, the game master and narrator for the series. The story features Meg as Emma Jane, Michael as Elias, Arcturus as Vincent, and Todd as Daniel. Please subscribe, leave a review, or even drop a comment if you're feeling generous. It helps out more than you know. We'll see you next time on the road.
He wakes up in the driver's seat, drive. Like, what?
What do you mean? Your hands are taped to the wheel. You're like, what?
Sorry, in the 20 minutes you were sleeping, we pissed off the whole town.
Yeah.
It happened so quick.
People are attacking us. People are angry at us. We can't take your car, and we need you to drive.
Oh my god.
It reminded me of in Pirates of the Caribbean when he's like running, there's a whole group of people behind him on the beach.
Yep.
Oh no. Oh my gosh. How are you guys feeling, huh?
Oh, I feel like I'm in danger.
Bad decisions were made. All you guys had to do was put on the helmets, you guys. Wasn't even that.
The one time, like, my character actually would have been down with doing that too.
Usually in these situations,
my character is like, nope, they wouldn't do it. And this time my character was like, yeah.
Well, I guess if that's the general consensus.
I guess if everybody else is saying no, she wouldn't either.
Wow, she's a sheep. Sheep follower.
Uh-oh.
I had a discovery in that moment because I think I was like, I don't know if I don't think Elias has put a neurocaster on since some shit went down in his life, because I don't think he trusts his mind.
I think
that's what I was saying. He was sweating, and was very grateful that Daniel was the one that stood up and said no.
That's funny that we had three different people with three very different thoughts about putting on that neurocaster.